I want to give extra credit to the sponsors. First, David Adelson has been sponsoring all of the shiurim. Le'ilui Nishmas, his father, Rav Shlomo Yehuda Aryeh, and Rav Binyamin David, Zechon Levracha, and Elliot Blumenthal Chaim Elio, his mother's yard site today. He's sponsoring Le'ilui Nishmas, Miral Bas Chaim Elio Halevi, Shamish Adeliya Mishavli Simcha Nachas. This is the third, I believe it's the third shiur in the series on the halachas of Harchakis. Altogether there'll probably be five, I think, maybe six, I think five, which again we're only just touching upon the actual practical halachas, not going into the lamdas. We don't have time to go into the lamdas. I would love to do that. But we need to have an opportunity to review the basic halachas. I'm trying to address the views of the different poskim, the Mekilim and the Machmirim. There's no agenda to present it a certain way, just to have a clearer understanding of the halacha. Obviously, when things come up, there are shailas that need to be asked. But to have more of a familiarity and a freshness regarding these halakhas that are nogeh to us all the time. So let's continue. Before we learn inside, we'll see inside Seif Gimel. That's where we're really up to. This is all about a Kuf Tzadikei in Yerodeya. Before we get to Seif Gimel, let's just finish a little bit what we were talking about last time. It's a very common thing that a parent is holding a child, is holding the baby, and the baby reaches out to go to the other parent, usually leaving the father to try to get back to mommy, but the baby is reaching out to the other parent. In Siv Beis, in Simkuf Tzadikei, in Siv Beis, there's a Pischei Tshuva. The Pischei Tshuva brings from the Tashbeitz, who is Mekel. He's Michael when we're talking about a child that already is in the category, the halachic category of Chai Noisei Es Atzmai. Now, Chai Noisei Es Atzmo, meaning that a child is already developed to the point where he carries himself, so to speak. It's not an infant. That's like an object that needs to be passed around. But rather, he's a Chai Noisei Es Atzmo. He can lean forward, he can move, he has his own initiative when it comes to physical motions and movement and so on. This is a halacha that we're familiar with, the Abra Rishuyas, with carrying on Shabbos and so on. So the Pischei Tshuva brings this Tashbeitz, who's Mekel. Because it's Ke'ilu the person is not really doing anything. It's Ke'ilu the mother is not handing over the child. The child is moving on his own, and the parent is only facilitating that. So that's the view that's brought down the Pischei Tshuva. However, there are many poskim who disagree with this. The Aruch HaShulchan in Seif Hei, the Aruch HaShulchan is baffled by how this concept of Chai Neisei Tzatzmo applies in this situation. Again, we don't have time to go into the lumdus of it, but the Aruch HaShulchan disagrees with this. And the general consensus among the poskim is that b'shas hadchak, it's an embarrassing situation, an uncomfortable situation. There are people that are looking at you. So since we have those who permit this, that b'shas hadchak, if we're talking about a baby, a child that's at that age already reaching, that the baby's reaching, not just an infant. So b'shas hadchak, the poskim are Armekel, and one can use this kula of the Pischei Tshuva. When it comes also to passing over the child, let's say the wife is in bed, and it's a matter of handing over the child and their blankets and the sheets and so on. So the poskim Armekel there as well, that you don't have to start moving everything aside and put the baby on the mattress or the child, and you could put on the blankets as long as you're careful not to touch the wife. Another halacha Ibn Aget to this subject is that the poskim tell us that it's forbidden for the husband to play with or to kiss the child while it's on the wife lap, or vice versa, that while the child is sitting on the other one's lap, you can't start playing with and kissing and doing stuff with. The Dachei Tshuva brings down that this is a kalus reish, that this type of behavior is not in line with the restrictive atmosphere that was created by halacha regarding the relationship between the husband and wife. However, it is mutter to put a pacifier in the mouth of the child when the child is sitting on the other one's lap. You're allowed to put a pacifier in the mouth in order to calm the child down. It's true that there are some poskim on machmir. The Shevet Halevi does not permit that. Rav Ozner does not allow that, and there are some other poskim who are strict with it as well. However, the Be'er Moshe, the Debetzin Rav is Mekel. Not only that, he's Mekel in a situation where the child does not want to eat unless the child is sitting in the parent's lap, and the only way the kid is going to eat is by the other parent taking the spoon and feeding the child. So the Debetzin Rav writes that it's not l'chadchila. It's not l'chadchila. L'chadchila, you tried to put the child in the high chair or something, or to do something different. But he is lenient that in such a situation, if the child is stubborn and dafka wants to eat this way, sitting on the lap while the other parent feeds the child, so the Debetzin Rav is Mekel. And Rav Nissim Karelis in the Chut Shani is also Mekel. And this applies when it comes to giving medicine as well. Parents that have small children here know that that can often become a very difficult business, trying to get the medicine into the child's mouth. And l'chadchila, there's somebody else around that's anyway with your wife and can help, that would be great, but oftentimes there's no one else. That's usually the way that it is. And if it means one parent holding the child and trying to open the mouth and the other parent getting in the dropper and giving the medicine, so the Debetzin Rav is Mekel that you're allowed to do that. Another kula from the Debetzin Rav, when I get to this type of situation, is that the Be'er Moshe, the Debetzin Rav is Mekel, that if the wife is holding a bag, and you need to put something in the bag, like one of the children's things, and the wife is holding it, so the Debetzin Rav is Mekel that you can't place it into the bag, but you can toss it into the bag. You see, if she's holding it, she can hold it open, and you can toss it in, and again, if you don't have to, it's better not to. But the Debetzin Rav says that it's permissible to do that. Now let's look inside Seif Gimel on top of the page, because this is where we're up to. The Isser of the husband and wife eating al shulchan echad, eating by the same table. Again, the basis of all these chumas we spoke about in the first year. We're just learning now the halacha lemaisa. So the Mechaber writes, Lo yochal ima al shulchan, that the husband cannot eat with the wife al hashulchan, together at the table. Elim kein yesh shum shinui, unless there is some distinctive point, demarcation, simon of some sort. Shiye shum dover mafsik ben ka'ar v'shaloi l'ka'ar v'shalo, that there's something in between that's being mafsik between her dish and the husband's dish and the wife's dish. Lechem, such as a loaf of bread that is designated for that. We'll talk about the designation in a minute. A kankan or a container of some sort that's between them. O shi yochal kol echad v'mapishalo, or each one eats with a separate tablecloth or a separate mat. To make a distinction, or one eats with a tablecloth and the other is without a tablecloth, or with a mat and the other one is eating without the mat. But there needs to be some distinction that's being made. The Ramah writes, this requirement to have a hefsek, something in between the two plates, this is dafka. He says, "Kishayelan oichlin bekara achas kishehi tahira." It's when the dafka, when she's in a state of being tahira, when she is permissible, it's kishayelan oichlin bekara achas. They don't eat from one plate. Avlim oichlin bekara achas kishehi tahira. But if they have their normal behavior, which nowadays would be very uncommon, if they normally, like poor people's regular, but they normally are just eating from one plate. That's how they normally eat when she's permissible. then sagi imarchelis bekara b'fnei atzma. Then it would be just enough of a simon if they have two separate plates. Again, this is very common in the old days by poor people, that they would eat from one plate together. So then, during the time that she was in Nida, the simon and the heker would be to have two separate plates, and that they would make a simon like that. Vein tzarech heker acher, v'chein noegin, and that's the minhag. Yeshomim sh'osu lo lechol mishiyurei Michael shalot. There are those who say that it's forbidden for him to eat from her leftovers, from her shirayim, from her leftovers. And Kamesh also lishtes mishiyurei kaishalot, and it's forbidden to drink from her cup, what's left over in her cup. So let's talk about these halachas. The makar of this halacha, of this issa of eating together by one shulchan, is the Mishnah in Shabbos. But the Mishnah in Shabbos says, Lo yachal hazav im hazava mibnei hergel aveira. It's talking about azav and azava, situations of tuma, with a husband and wife, and not to eat together mibnei hergel aveira. Now, hergel aveira means a habit that could lead to aveira. The Rishonim, there's a machlokas Rishonim, of what is the reason for this iser, what is the meaning of this hergel davar, and what's the reason for the iser of eating together b'shulchan echad. According to the Rosh and the Ra'ah, this is in Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph, according to the Rosh and the Ra'ah, this way of eating together, al shulchan echad, is derech chiba. It's a certain type of affection, of closeness, of intimacy, chiba v'kiruv, and we're afraid that this could bring them lehergel davar, to start to touch, and so on, which could lead to, God forbid, to an aveira. The Rosh writes that this entire issa, this is a very famous and big kula. It's also mashma the Rambam like this, but the Rosh writes very clearly that the entire issa, this whole issa of eating al shulchan echad from the Mishnah and the Gemara there in Shabbos, that's only talking about biyomehem, in the old days, in those days. Why? Because in those days, as we see from many places in the Gemara, in those days they used to eat, the way that they would eat was they would have little tables, they'd have these little serving tables, whatever, and the tables were very small and were placed in front of individual people, and these tiny little tables, for the two to eat together, to share these little tables, the Rosh says that clearly is a problem of their chiba, some sort of a sign of intimacy. However, the Rosh says that already Bismanenu, talking about in the Middle Ages, the already Bismanenu, he says, when the way people eat is that all of the Bnei Habayis, all of the members of the family, eat on a large table. They eat on a regular table, not these little serving tables, but they eat on a larger table. So this is no longer derechiba. Sounds like, therefore, according to the Rosh, that this no longer applies. Now, as with the husband and wife could sit at the table and could eat. The only issur he holds is when they had those small tables. However, the Shulchan Aruch, as we just learned, does not make such a chiluk between larger tables and smaller tables. The Shulchan Aruch does not make a chiluk, and the Shulchan Aruch is talking about regular tables. But this is the view of the Rosh. There's another view in the Rishonim, that's brought in the name of the Raviyah, that there's another problem here, that since the custom of the husband and wife during the time that she's permitted is that they eat together, and they're not, if they don't make any heker now during this time of nida, it could be that it's going to lead necessarily to they start touching each other, but since they, if they would continue to eat in the usual way that they eat all the time, then it could be that someone will forget, that they'll do something because they forget, not anything intentional, because of their chiba. It's just there needs to be, in general, we saw this last time, there needs to be in general certain shinluyim, changes in hakeirim, to remind them, I mean, it's totally tremistic, but just to remind them that it's the time of Issa. Now this din of Ka'ara, of eating from a Ka'ara, aside from the issue of eating at the same table, we'll talk more about that in a minute, the issue of ka'ara achas, of eating from one plate, this, the poskim tell us, is when the person, this issue is only when the person takes the food from the ka'ara, from the plate, and puts the food directly into his mouth, or directly into her mouth. There's a plate that they're sharing of food, and each one is taking the food from the plate and putting it directly into the mouth. That's also. The Taz on the spot, however, writes that if each one takes the food, a piece from the tray or from the plate, and puts it on to his plate or to her plate, or puts it on the table, and then from there takes it and puts it into the mouth, instead of directly from that shared common dish. So then the Taz says that ein b'ze iser, that's okay. If, however, they're eating from the same plate, the poskim say that this iser applies even if we're talking about a large plate, and there are different types of food, let's say different nuts and different candies, whatever it might be, even though it's a large plate and there are different foods, and each person is taking and putting directly into his or her mouth. Again, if you put it down first, it's okay. But putting it directly into the mouth, even though it's a large plate with lots of different things on it, potato kugel and lakshna kugel, whatever it is, it's a big plate and there are different things on it, to go and to take directly and to put a piece into your mouth from the same car, from a shared common plate. So the poskim are a machmir. Moshe writes about this in the first chelik of Yerodei, Semet Tzadik Aleph, and he brings l'chumra. Nevertheless, there are those who are makel when you have a big plate that has separate compartments. That's considered to be a heker. So the plates that have different sections on them, so there are poskim or a makel that you'd be able to eat directly from that section of the plate without having to first put it down. If it's that type of a plate and has foods that are different sections of the plate with these little dividers, you'd be allowed to do that. The poskim or a makel.
Yes. What if the children are also taking from the?
One second. We'll get to that. Included in this iser is eating directly from the same bag. Let's say there's a bag of potato chips or popcorn, something like that. And the husband and wife are sharing, and they're eating from the same bag. So that has a din of achila mikara achas. It has a din of eating from one plate, and therefore it's forbidden to take directly from the bag of potato chips, each one to take their turn and to put into the mouth. Either they have separate bags, or the bag is put down if the one is finished and it's given to the other, or the potato chips are put out, take it out, and you take them out and put them on a little plate, but not to take directly from the bag, each one switching off, taking from putting directly into the mouth. That's not allowed. It's true that there are those who are makel. If it's a very large bag, I don't know how one measures that, but it's a very large bag, and there are different people who are taking from the bag, and the husband takes, and there's a kid that's taking, other people are taking from this large bag, so there are poskim who are makel in that situation.
Maybe that one person puts on a plate, another person doesn't.
Right, so that's considered to be enough of a hacker coin to most poskim, to make that shina, to make that distinction. That's okay to take and to put it down, to give to the other, that's okay, just not at the same time to be taking out. Now this din of shinui and heker, the iser to eat at one table together without making some sort of a shinui, that we learned in Shulchan Aruch that there should be something that is mafsik between, there's something that's dividing between the two plates, as the Shulchan Aruch brings, like a container or something, or they eat on separate mats or tablecloths. In the Shiurim of Rav Ozner, in the Shiurei Shevet HaLevi, he says that the heker does not, he brings from the Rishonim, that the heker does not have to be mamish between them. It doesn't have to be mamish between them. It says that lakol apachas, it could be near them. It doesn't have to be. To be mafsik doesn't mean that it has to be mamish between the two of them. It could be a little bit, it could be on the side also. As long as it's within their range of vision, and it's a hecker, not on the other side where nobody's sitting, where there's nothing there rather, but as long as there is something there, that there'll be a hecker, and it's enough, it's close enough to remind them, so then Rav Rosner says that would be okay. There's a machlokas aposkin, whether or not a hecker is necessary when the husband and wife are just having something to drink. They're just drinking something. They're sitting at the table, and they're drinking something. Again, the Sheva Halevi, Rav Osner, and the Badei Shulchan, Rav Feivel Cohen, both of them are machmir. That all of the halachas that we just learned in Shulchan Aruch of making a separation and making a hecker, that the halachas apply in a situation where the husband and wife are drinking together. Since according to the view of this poskim, the yesoid, the foundation of the chumrah of Chazal, of this stringency of Chazal, is not davka by a su'udah kavua. They hold that it's not davka by a su'udah, by a meal. According to these poskim, even if they're having a snack, or if they're having something to drink, there needs to be a simon and a hecker. The only thing is that Rav Osner and the Badei Shulchan both agree that the only time that you would need to have a hecker when it comes to having a drink, if it's a drink that has some chashivas. In other words, if the husband and wife are sitting down to have coffee or tea together, so there is some type of a chashivas to that, some type of a kriyas to that. So that would require a hecker and a shinui. If, however, they're having a glass of water, or somebody's having a soda or something, that's not considered to be chashivas. What exactly, what's the definition of chashivas? If your wife likes to have a glass of beer, I don't know what's considered to be chashivas when it comes to these mashkes. But water or a soda, a seltzer, or something like that is not considered to be chashiv. I don't know, it's not clear if it's apple juice or orange juice, but coffee, tea, there's already some sort of a chesidus to it, and that would require a hacker. All of this is the view of Rav Osner and the Badei HaShulchan. The Tzitz Eliezer, in Chelik Yudches, Simen Chav Gimel, the Tzitz Eliezer writes that the entire Isser was only established when it comes to eating. So Bechlal not when it comes to having a drink at all. And he brings from the Ravid that the Ravid says beferish, that when it comes to drinking something, we're not afraid that they're going to come and to start drinking together from the same coast, from the same cup. That's not the usual way things are done. And therefore, the Tzitz Eliezer is Mekel. Going back to the Rosh that we learned, that the Isser of Shulchan Echad is because it's a sign of intimacy, of kiruv, and of chiba. L'chayra, why wouldn't that be the same thing if two people are sitting down to have a drink together at the table? Why isn't that also a sign of intimacy, of chiba? So the Tzitz Eliezer answers, and he writes that even perhaps even the Rosh would agree that only when it comes to having, when it comes to eating, is there a simon of chiba? Because eating, perhaps even a snack, has in it some kviyas. But drinking, he says, there's no kviyas in two people having a drink. That's what he says. So even the Rosh, who tells us that the reason for eating b'shulchan echad is because it's a sort of an act of intimacy of their chiba that could potentially lead to something. That's only, the Tzitz Eliezer explains, that's only when it comes to achila. And the takana, therefore, of Chazal, to be machmir, the gabi, this din of Shulchan Echad, the Tzitz Eliezer explains, it's only when it comes to achila, not when it comes to drinking. It's brought also in the name of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was completely mekel, both when it comes to drinking, to having a drink, whatever the drink is, that they don't have to make any simon or any hecker. They could sit together at a table and have coffee or tea, that you don't need any hecker or any simon. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says that also when it comes to achilas aroi, if they're having a snack, they're eating snack. He holds it's only a din when they're eating a meal. Rav Shlomo Zalman holds it's only with a meal. But if they're sitting together, they just happen to sit together at a table, and this one's having an ice cream or something, it's having a snack or something, and it's not a kviyas suda, so So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is make with all of these things. With both drinking, there's no need for a hacker and a shindui, and eating a snack at the same table. If Shlomo Zalman held that the takana was not made for a snack, it was only made for a kriyas suda, not for a snack.
In fact, on the mats, even if they always eat with the mats, then that's to a different.
No, if they always eat, then one should take should eat without, or if it had, or there should be special mats that are used during that time. But that wouldn't be a hacker if they use the same mats. I'll talk about the types of hacker in a second. If they use the same mats all of the time, that wouldn't be a hacker. I'm going to talk about it right now. So as far as the hacker is concerned, it's not enough. According to most poskim, it's not enough that only one of the two knows that this is a hacker. It's not enough, according to most poskim, that only one of them knows that it's a hacker. Nevertheless, I did see in the Chut Shani from Rav Nissim Karelitz, so goes on saying, I did see that he does hold that the iser to eat together with Shulchan Echad, the iser to eat at one table, the iser is really on the husband. This is really on the husband, because the chshash of hergel davar, the chshash of overstepping one's boundaries, is a chshash benoget to the husband. Not to say that there isn't such thing as a woman that would do such a thing, but the general view in halacha is that the man is the more aggressive of the two, and therefore he holds that the iser is on of hergel davar is on the husband. Therefore, Rav Nissim Karelitz says a big chiddush. I didn't see this anywhere else, but Rav Nissim Karelitz holds that if the husband decides to take this, and they're sitting down, and the wife just sits down to eat, and she didn't think of anything with a hacker, and the husband has a cheshbon, and the husband puts something down as a hacker to remind him, Rav Nissim Karelitz says it's enough. Even if he doesn't say anything to the wife, or doesn't point anything with the wife, and the wife doesn't even know that it's a hacker. Since he holds that the issue is on the husband, because it's more likely that the husband is going to chalila, is going to be in violation of the harchaka. Therefore, Reb Nissim writes that it's okay if the husband decides to use something as a hacker. That works, even if the wife doesn't know about it at all. And the Badei HaShulchan, Reb Feivel Kohn, Baruch Hashem, Reb Feivel Kohn is alive and well in Flatbush. That his sefer Badei HaShulchan is a modern classic in Hilchos Nida. So the Badei HaShulchan brings from the Dachi Tshuva in Hilchos Bosa B'Cholov. You see a lot of the shailas in the hachokis of the dinim of Shulchan Echad by Hilchos Nida. A lot of these halachas are influenced by the dinim of two people who are eating basa b'chalav at the same table, who are having milk and meat at the same table, where there also halacha requires a hacker and a shindui. So there's an interesting development in halacha where the question is, do we model the halachas of Hilchos Nida, the harchakis by Hilchos Nida, are they modeled completely after the harchakis when it comes to basa b'chalav? Or do we say, no, there's something else going on by Hilchos Nida, which is the conclusion of most poskim, that there the issue of intimacy is generally a greater attraction than the spare ribs. So, just to put it very bluntly, so because of that, the poskim are not borrowing directly in all situations. They're not that borrowing directly from the halachas of Basa B'Chalav. There are distinctions that are being made. The overall mahalach is based upon Yerudaya and Hilchos Basa B'Chalav. But there are differences. So here, the Badei HaShulchan brings from the Dach Yitshuv and Hilchos Basa B'Chalav that the hacker does not have to be davka. It does not have to be that you take something and you put it on the table l'shem hacker. In other words, it's okay even if there was something that was on the table before. There's flowers on the table. There's a vase on the table. There's something that's on the table before. It was already there. Not something that you're using for the meal. Not a bottle of soda or something for the meal. But there's something that was on the table before, a vase. And the same way we see that in Basa B'Cholov, that in Hilchos Basar B'Cholov that could be used as a heker and a shimi. It doesn't have to be brought davke to be mechadish something different or something from outside or something new. Even if it was on the table before, the Bade Shulchan brings in the Dach Yitshuva that could be used as a heker, and they could be samachanat. They just have to acknowledge that this is something which is being used as a heker. It doesn't have to be that they bring something to the table.
Even if it's always at the other meal?
Yes, even if it's always at the table by every other meal, as long as there's some acknowledgement that that's going to be the heker now, it's fine. They don't have to make a, you know, a kinyan or anything like that. It's just that there's an acknowledgement that's going to be the heker. There's a machlokas haposkim, whether or not the heker, this also is in Basar B'Cholov. There's a machlokas haposkim, whether the heker needs to have ktsas gova. Does it need to have some height? Since the Shulchan Aruch uses this term mafsik beinehem, sort of blocking them or separating them, so there's an interesting machlokas haposkim whether or not this hefsik has to have some gova, some height. The mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Chochmas Adam seem to hold that any shinui, they don't make a case, they don't make a point of there being something that's tall that makes a separation. So it seems that according to the Mechaber and the Aruch HaShulchan, Chacham Sodom and other poskim, it's fine. The Shevet Alevi says, Aikadekach, that it's enough for her to take her ring off and to put it on the table. Just to take a ring. Doesn't have to have height. She could take a piece of jewelry, a ring off or something, and put it on the table, and that's fine. So there, because that's the halacha again in Yerodei and Basar B'Cholov. However, there are those who say, I'm sorry, just the opposite. There are those that's a special halacha in Hilchos Nida. However, there are those who say that the same way that by Basar B'Cholov, when you look there in Shulchan Aruch, there's a requirement by Basar B'Cholov for Ktsas Goiva, that there is a requirement for something that has some height. Again, what exactly is that height? That's a discussion. So there are those who say that since that's a din by Basar B'Cholov, even though it doesn't say clearly in the Shulchan Aruch by Hilchos Nida, but since it's even a stronger inyan to make a hefsek by a husband or wife, certainly these poskim hold that certainly there should be some significance to this, not just a flat object or a ring, that it certainly have some sort of height, and that is the psak of the Badei HaShulchan. What's the consensus? Rov poskim are makel, like the Shevet Halevi, Rav Yosef, the Tzitz Eliezer. Most poskim are makel that we do not cross over from Basar B'Cholov for whatever reason. We're not going into right now, and the din is that it does not have to have gova. Thereby, Basar B'Cholov, it's more of a practical issue. The hefsek has to be more significant. Over here, it's more an inyan of derech chiba, and therefore, as long as there's a heker and there's a shinui, that interrupts the inyan of chiba. And so, even if it's a flat thing, something that's put down on the table, that's okay. For the chassidim over here, it's important to note that the Tzemach Tzedek was very machmir with this, and most of the chassidim hold, like the Tzemach Tzedek, that there should be some sort of a gova. Doesn't have to be polluted. There should be something of significance, not flat. It should be something of significance. Can a sefer be used? Can a sefer be used as a heker and a shinui? If you never have a sefer otherwise on the table, and the wife will say, oh, what? Look at this. And all the kids are saying, what's going on, Daddy? So can a sefer be used as a heker, as a shinui? So the poskim are not in favor of that, for the simple reason that it's considered to be a bizoyin for a sefer, that's you're using a sefer for something other than learning. That's a bizoyin, not because of Hilchos Nida, but that's not appropriate to use a sefer at the table, to use a sefer as a heker, unless the poskim say, unless you were learning from, if you were learning from it, not that you take it off the shelf and you put it down. That's a bizarre for the sefer, to take a sefer to use for a hefsek. But if you're learning from the sefer, and the husband and wife, and there's an acknowledgement, and they move the sefer over a little bit, and there's an acknowledgement that's going to be a hefsek, that's going to be a shinui, so in the poskim are medical, that you use the sefer. You say you can't take a sefer just for hekker. That's not appropriate. But you can use the sefer that's on the table. You can use the sefer as a hekel. Also, there could be a tzetel, a little note. Again, that doesn't mean somebody's a machine that you have to take a post-it and say, you know, usser, put over. I don't want to give, you know, a Pesach to anybody that's not healthy. This looks like a healthy island here. But you're allowed to take even a little, according to this view, that it doesn't have to have any, like, not like in Basar B'chol, it doesn't have to have any substance or significance. As a hacker, so even if it'd be a little note, if it'd be without anything on it, just a little simon, a piece of paper or something that's put onto the table, that's okay. Now, if it's something which is always on the table, it's always on the table, not just by meals. I'm saying there's a vase that's always on the table and it's sitting someplace along on the table. That's not a hacker. It's not a heker. If it's moved over and it becomes obvious that we're using it as a heter, that's fine. But the fact that you have those flowers that are always sitting on the table, or there's a vase that's on the table, that's ridiculous. That's not considered to be a heker. If they move it, then it's okay. But otherwise, it's not a heker. And another interesting question regarding the heker is, if, let's say the wife or the husband has a mokum kavua. As a place, they always sit at the table. That's her spot at the table. So, if she moves to a different place, she moves over to a different spot at the table. So the Beis Yosef brings in the name of Rabbeinu Yerucham. That's also considered to be a heker, and that's the psak of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch also. That changing one's place at the table, if you normally sit in one place, to move over doesn't mean to go like this. But if you move over to a little bit of a different location at the table, then that would be considered a heker. Now Shlomi asked before, what about if you're eating together with the Bnei Habayis? You're eating together with the family. If you're eating together with other people at the table, so there's a machlokas at poskim whether you need a heker. Obviously, it's a deterrent. Nothing's going to happen over here between the husband and wife because there's chevra at the table. So there's a machlokas at poskim. The minhag ha'olam is to be mekel. The minhag ha'olam is to be mekel that if there are others who are sitting at the table, we're not talking about little babies and so on, but if they're already old enough that it would be uncomfortable for a husband and wife to show any intimacy with each other. So, the poskim are medical. Many poskim say that even so, Rav Moshe wrote about this, that even so, even if there are others at the table, it's kedai, but we can be samech on those who are medical, but it's kedai to put, even a small hacker, something, to make a small hacker, even if there are other people sitting at the table, or Moshe and other poskim held, that it's kedai. And it can be done in such a way that nobody would feel anything, nobody would notice anything, but the husband and wife know that there's something, a little bit of a hacker, just to make it a table. That's what Moshe writes, and other poskim write that as well. But again, Mi'ikra Din, you don't have to. Mi'ikra Din, the poskim are mekel, that if there are children at the table or guests at the table, that's already a significant heker, and you don't need to make any other heker, any other shinui. An interesting question comes up when a husband and wife go out to eat in a restaurant. So there you're talking about a room that might be filled with people. The restaurant has people in it. But the husband and wife are sitting at a little table for two people. So is it necessary to have a heker in the restaurant to make a simon and a shinui? So I saw that in the Hilchas Nida Sefer for Reb Shimon Eider Zecharon Levracha, Reb Moshe's Talmud Reb Shimon Eider, that over there he writes that you need to have a heker. That if the husband and wife are sitting at a table in a restaurant, that then there needs to be a heter. Because the only heter of the poskim when you have many people that are sitting at the table is when the people are sitting b'shulchan echad. So if you have, so you're sitting in the restaurant and it's family and friends, you have a larger table and you're sitting with the kids or you're sitting with other people, so then you could certainly rely upon that just like you would at home. But if you're sitting in a restaurant, those people have nothing to do with you. The fact that there are 100 other tables doesn't mean anything. And if you're sitting with your wife at a little table, so Rav Aida says that you certainly need to have a hekker. That's not the same as sitting in the house at a table with the family. So you need to, and you would need to have a hekker in that situation. Again, it's you don't have to call the waiter and say, "Excuse me, we need to have a hacker over here." You could see that as something which would already happen in the way things are going nowadays. You could order different types of hekkerim, the $5 hacker, the $10 hacker, you mahadrin and a mahadrin hekkerim. Yeah, you could already see that. We're laughing. Let's wait. Just remember that we spoke about it. Remember. Well, let's see, because there are things that I laughed a lot about years ago, and it's already like in Devil Poshit. So Rav Aida says that if you're sitting just with a wife, there could be a small little hacker moving something into a simon to make a hacker between the two, to be mindful of this takana of Chazal. And yeah, I'm sorry.
You like the salt shake or something? You're not going to use the salt in the temple.
Yeah, you can move over and want the salt shake or something, that's fine. Or you don't have to even move over, it's a small table. You just acknowledge that there's a heck.
Why isn't Chavivis Beparhasia an Isser? I'm saying that's a standing Isser that, anyways, you know, something you can't.
Because Bekoshi, there's a Machlokas Aposkim regarding the one table with many people. That itself is a machlokas aposkim. There still is concern that there could be a hergel dover after the meal or something like that as a result of that demonstration of intimacy. So there was concern like that. So bekoshi, the aposkim are mekel if there are other people at the same table. But if it's a small table and it's just the two of them, so then Rav Aida, I don't see this in any other sefer. I never saw this discussed. I just saw it in Rav Shimon Aida say regarding the child of a restaurant. I don't know. I didn't see it anywhere else. But that's what he says. He says that if it's a table for two, Then again, he says that it could be a hekker ba'alma, but this should be something. It's just the two of them, and they're eating out. We didn't get to the whole. We didn't talk at the subject of going for a trip or a tiyul. That's the next shiur, going for a tiyul during that time. In other words, during the period of harchakas, the poskim are careful with there being any open demonstration of intimacy. The two going out to eat during that time is itself a little bit of a simon that's question. It's a little bit of a questionable type of behavior. We'll talk about that more in the next year. And if they are going out, so Rav Aida felt that it should be a hacker that's placed over there. So, yeah, sorry.
No, so it's not clear to me really what halacha is trying to protect. That there's going to be an immediate avera that might follow, which couldn't possibly happen if there are other people at the table or in a restaurant, or there might be some level of intimacy even with people at the table in a restaurant that later that night or something like that could lead to an avera.
It's a little bit unclear what exactly we spoke in the first shiur about the different reasons by the Rishonim about this whole inyan of what does it mean kiruv and derech chiba. There is the one school that holds that we're just afraid that because they're being regular with each other they'll forget, and forgetting doesn't mean that necessarily something will happen right on the spot. It could be that they get into a certain atmosphere of hergel davar, and it could be that even after the Sukkah there'd be something, there'd be some contact because they're just in that atmosphere of hergel davar. There's another view that seems to be just more practical about, is there something which on the spot could lead to some sort of an inyan? So there are two mahalchim, and therefore we find that we spoke to Frisch that the machmir lakan, that they're just machmir, that it could be an inyan of shikha, forgetting, and Chazal wanted to make something different and irregular about their relationship by the Suda. There should be something, a reminder of something that's irregular. Even if we're not concerned that right now at the table something's going to happen. And because of that, another interesting halacha that we find in the poskim, we'll end with this here. Maybe we'll just look inside to see the Aruch HaShulchan's lashon is very important. If they're sitting at, let's say the husband and wife sit at a this is not get to what Shimon was just asking. They're poskim that are mekel, but let's say the husband and wife sit at a table, and remember, like you used to have, like in the old movies, there'd be some like sitting in some castle somewhere, and the husband is over here, and the wife is like
kilometer
v'chefi. Yeah, kilometer v'chefi. They're sitting like over some over there, and they have like the butlers. So the poskim are mekel. The poskim are mekel that if the table is a long enough table, and the husband and wife are sitting at other ends of the table. In other words, if they're not within reach. So they're poskim are mekel that they don't need any heker, which raises this whole issue. So what if they're not within reach? So then we're not afraid that they're going to do something at the table because they're not within reach. But isn't that a hergel dover that they're eating at the table together? So it raises this question. Exactly, this is the lumdus behind it. So there are poskim or mekel that in such a situation, not only is it that they can't touch each other because it's a longer table, but that itself creates a certain feeling of distance. Even though they normally eat that way, eating that way at a table where there are two opposite ends of the table and they're not reaching each other, so the poskim, they're a poskim or a mekel. That in such a situation, you don't have to have any heker at all. That could even be, it depends on the husband and wife. Normally, if they sit that way at the table, or at the Shabbos table, that's how they sit with the kids usually over there. Even if the kids are not there and the husband and wife are sitting at the opposite, although, like, why do they have to do that? Why can't they sit next to each other? But that's a personal matter. But if they're sitting back across the table and they can't reach each other, they're a poskim are 100% mekel with that, and certainly you could rely upon that. If it's without this, if it's beyond reaching distance, you could sit at the same table.
It's almost not like shulchan.
It's not kilu. It's not the same, right? It's not the same shulchan. And remember that we have the kula altogether. The rush is mekel in all these halachas. He says the whole din of shulchan echad is only biyameihem. It's only biyameihem. Not bezmaneinu. It's bechlal not. So they fall back on the rush. A lot of these poskim, but these coolest, they fall back on the rush. This is the whole thing's not no gay anymore. We don't eat that way. It's only, so when we're dealing with a regular table, the rush wasn't machmir at all. So if it's a large enough table and they're sitting further apart, so even if she's, but it's far enough, so you can't reach the person. So the poskim are mekel. Yeah, Jeff.
So a lot of times you start off the meal with the kids and you sit them, and you know, they're running off to do the homework, and
Yes, so the kids are there originally at the beginning, and because of that you don't have to have any hacker, and then they're going away from the table and you're still eating.
Right.
If the meal is finished, then it's okay. But if you're still eating and the kids ran away and you're still eating, then you should see to it that there be a hacker. Or the wife can move over.
And if the kids are around, like, they're doing homework, but in the same room, let's say, nearby, they ate the meal and they're just eating.
No, I mean, it's a din of the shulchan, and if they're in the same room, l'chatchila, there should be some sort of a siman that's made at the table. If the husband and wife are continuing to eat, there should be a siman that's made at the table.
Maybe I just want to clarify, it could be something that has shakers to eat, like a salt shake, as long as you're not basically...
As long as you're not using that as part of the meal. If you're using the ketchup, but if you take a ketchup that you're not using, and you make it into a hacker, it's fine. But the soda bottle or the salt shaker that's being used is not a hacker, that's how you're eating. So you need to, you could use a food item, but not something that's part of the meal. Not that's being used the meal. So that's fine.
Are there any issues with, you mentioned salt and pepper, reaching for the same thing that's on the table?
No.
The same thing as the plate?
No, that's fine. That's fine. To be used separately from the table, the ketchup, the things, the condiments, and so on, no, that's fine. There's no problem with that at all.
Someone was talking earlier about dipping, let's say you have like a vegetable that would dip, like you both can't dip into this, like the vegetable into that dip?
Okay, it's a good question. It became this dip thing became a big Indian, yeah. So I don't remember that from when we were growing up. Whatever you like, you said what a chayta, whatever you like. But I'm just saying that lately the kids are bringing to the table like stacks of all different color things. I don't know, nothing that I've ever. For me, that's a hecker. I don't touch that stuff. But I mean, Tchina, that's okay. But anything other than that is strange to me. So that's a good question. Dipping into the same thing simultaneously, dipping back and forth, the poskim have a problem with. In other words, if there's a tchina or something over there, and they're going like that back and forth, so it's preferable to put some onto the plate and to do that, not simultaneous. But if you're doing it and then it's passed along, and your wife is using the dip, that's fine. Just it shouldn't be done like a potato chip. It shouldn't be done simultaneously. But it's okay if it's done like that, just passing it back and forth. That's fine. Yeah. Yes.
I told you before, I wasn't clear with you. The big, big fish.
Yeah.
Just the husband and wife, and you put it down each time, and the other one takes it. That's good or that's not good?
So the lashon that's found in the poskim is that if it's a large big, so that they're makel. I don't know if it's davki, if there are others that are there that are also taking from it. And those days, I'm not 100% clear. I'll take another look at it. It sounds like if it's a large big, even if like a big bag of popcorn or something, even if he takes and she takes from the big and puts into the mouth. And it's not, they're not like, they wouldn't have to touch or anything like that, reaching to the big. It sounds like that there's room to be makel, but it was a little bit odd. And I don't know what the shear is of that, and it's not clear if the davka, a lot of people at the table that are taking from the same big. That I know people are makel with, that if there's a big, and a lot of people are taking from the big, that they're makel. But if it's just the husband and wife sharing a big, even if it's a large big, I don't think that that's a kula, but I'll check again. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. It's a good question. Okay, Mr. Shem will continue. We'll continue next year. I think it'll be another 2 shiur. Mr. Shem will finish something. After Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, Mr. Shem, next time.